Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, you know the music, Joe. We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now and talk to our buddy Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Lots to talk about this week, Mike. You can start down here in South Florida. Brian Flores let go by the Dolphins. What were your first thoughts?
Wait, what happened?
I saw it was your most commented article on the website.
Yeah, look
too.
At you.
Hey, look, I have very strong thoughts on this, and I know it will activate QAnon. But I think this was a huge mistake by the team, and it's not surprising. It goes back to the simple fact that Stephen Ross, the owner of the team, does not live and work in South Florida. Now, I am not advocating that every owner be a micromanager and meddle in the affairs of his or her team. But I do believe that it is vitally important for every owner to create a base of his or her operations in the NFL team facility that the person owns and be there every day. That's your workplace, like it is for Robert Kraft in New England, like it is for countless other owners, whether they have a hand in the direction of the team like a Jerry Jones or they don't. Because you need to be there. You need to be interacting with these people. You need to understand what the dynamics are. You know, what's the old saying? When the cat's away, the mice do play. The cat's never there. And when the cat is there, he's sitting in the luxury suite, and some of the mice are whispering their version of what's going on to him while the coach is on the sideline in no position to correct the record, to add his two cents. I've been hearing for years from coaches who hate the fact that while they're down on the sideline coaching the team, they know there's somebody up there in the luxury suite whispering to the owner, God knows what, about the coach. And if there's adversity, if things aren't going the way that the owner wants, if the wins aren't there, if the owner wanted Deshaun Watson and didn't get him, who's going to get the blame? It's going to be the person who isn't there in a position to whisper into the owner's ears. And I think that had a lot to do with this. I mean, get the hell out of here with this, he didn't have the right relationships. He came from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. It's not about relationship. The only relationship that matters is your relationship with winning games. You got back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in a generation. You swept the Patriots this year. You're 4-2 against the Patriots in three seasons. What the hell else, short of making the playoffs, obviously, which would have been nice, but what the hell else does a guy have to do when he's turning around a team that has been perpetually dysfunctional? I mean, I really was stunned by it, and I think it was a huge mistake. And the fact that there's so much interest in Flores immediately just underscores that they got this wrong. And they're going to have to deal with a team that Brian Flores coaches in the future. And I have a feeling he's going to have a little extra motivation every time he faces the Dolphins.
Mike, just the other part of this thing is Chris Greer. What's your take on Chris Greer in this situation and still being able to keep his job?
Well, you know, some of what we've been hearing this week. And when a coach is fired – and the team starts to mobilize the PR machine and feed information to the newspapers and other outlets to cover the team, you're going to get a skewed version of reality. I mean, it's entirely possible that Brian Flores was trying to make a power play, that, hey, I've done well here with substandard talent. And, you know, we thump our chests about all the draft picks we've acquired over the years. Well, what the hell have we done with them? Remember we had the conversation back before the trade deadline came and went, that if they want three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, give them three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. Look at what the three first-round picks became from 2020. Send them the lottery tickets before they're scratched off. They're a hell of a lot more valuable than after they're scratched off, and that may have been the base for some sort of a struggle for Flores to have more control. That happens from time to time. Coaches come in and do well, and they try to exert their influence over the football operation. And the problem is, if the people in the front office sense that coming, well, one of your options is to make a move of your own before the move is made against you. And, you know, it gets back to the Joe Philbin, Jeff Ireland, Don Aponte dysfunction. When the owner isn't there, he's in a position where he can be manipulated. And I think Stephen Ross has been manipulated in the past. I think he was manipulated on this one. You know, I've got a theory that he wanted to do a full season tank in 2019, and Flores defied him after he realized what a disaster it was going to be, and he didn't want to have his name attached to it. And now Stephen Ross has a bug up his rear end because the guy he ultimately wanted, Joe Burrow, has turned around the Bengals, and if they just would have lost a few more games in 2019, they'd have Joe Burrow instead. So I think that it's a complicated, almost Shakespearean type of a situation. But if the owner was there every single day, things like this would be harder to pull off.
All right, Mike, and moving to the next step, and that, of course, is interviewing these six or seven names that are already out there. You know, one of the first questions is going to be, and that is, how do you feel about Tua Tagovailoa going forward? How many of those guys are going to be straight about it and tell us? We got two guys from the Buffalo Bills that are very familiar with Tua Tagovailoa. Are they honest, or do they go, well, maybe I can get more out of him, but, man, I don't know how many times I'm going to get offered a five-year contract to be a head coach for this kind of money.
That's the challenge. When you have a coach that you're looking for and your quarterback is part of the equation going forward and you believe that they want to try to make it work with that quarterback, you got two options. You can be perfectly candid and not get the job, or you can go in and say how you're all in with Tua, and then once you get the five-year guaranteed contract, you can commence your plan of subtly but inevitably convincing the powers that be that Tua isn't the answer. Now, I don't know that, I think it would be a huge mistake to go out and specifically restrict yourself to a coach that believes fully and completely in Tua. I think that's a huge mistake. I think Deshaun Watson is still in play. I don't buy the idea that Flores is the one who wanted Watson and no one else did. I heard for months that Ross is the one who wanted Watson. And I think what Flores wanted was it to be over one way or the other, that it was a distraction for his team. It hovered over his team in a negative way. Look at what happened when the trade deadline finally went. What happened? They won seven in a row. Tua was no longer twisted inside and out over the possibility of being instantly supplanted by Deshaun Watson. So I don't know that we should assume that they're going into this saying, we only want people who want Tua. That would be a huge mistake if they did it, and I hope they're not doing it for the sake of the franchise. But if they are doing it, you're running the risk that you're going to hire somebody under a Trojan horse type of a situation where he says all the right things, and then once he gets the job, it's all about undermining Tua and pivoting to some other quarterback.
Mike, didn't take very long for Brian Flores' name to be attached to possible jobs that were open, including interviewing with the Bears today, and then the word coming out of Houston that he could be the favorite there to get the job. Wouldn't that be something, though, to take the Texans' job and somehow talk Deshaun Watson into staying with the Houston Texans and not trading him somewhere else? Wouldn't that be a nice fairy tale ending?
I think it's too late for that. I don't think the Texans want him anymore after what happened over the course of the last year. And I don't think the hiring of Brian Flores is going to turn him around. Remember last year where this went off the rails finally for Deshaun Watson. They told him he was going to be involved in the coaching search. He had two recommendations, and they were not crazy outside-the-box recommendations. He said Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, and Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coordinator at the time who became the Jets coach. And it wasn't hire them, it was interview them. And they didn't interview them. And these guys were interviewed by almost everyone who was looking for coaches last year. So I don't think Deshaun Watson suddenly turns it around. And I think Cal McNair and Jack Easterby have decided they want to move on from Watson. So even if they would hire Flores, I don't think Watson stays there. I think it's just a matter of time before they find someone else. And, hey, the challenge for Flores is this. Because he's good enough that he gets another shot. Do you do the Adam Gase, Eric Mangini, take your second shot right away, just as kind of an ego boost that you get – you get fired by one team, so you're going to say yes to whoever offers you the next chance, and then you step into another dysfunctional situation, or do you wait a little while? Now, it worked for Andy Reid to go straight from the Eagles to the Chiefs, I'll say that, and there have been others, too, that, you know, it just happens to work out well when you make that transition. Ron Rivera, sort of. I don't know where Washington is right now, but I think there's an argument to be made for Flores to sit this one out and give it a year and be more strategic in picking your spot when you return to coaching, whether it's 2023 or beyond. I mean, he's still young. He's got a lot of years left to coach, and he's got one more shot. And if you end up in another bad spot 2 or 3 years from now, you could be done for good.
Mike, I want to ask you about Tony Dungy because you work with him and you know Tony pretty well from Sunday Night Football. I saw Tony talking about screwing this guy up, Tua Tagovailoa, now going in to his third new offense to learn and how he feels and some other people feel it's destroying this guy before he ever gets started. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that that's not an uncommon thing that we've seen with other young quarterbacks, and that's why it's so critical that a young quarterback with a high degree of talent end up in a good spot, and where you start your career is going to have such an impact on what kind of a career you have. What is the support system that is in place around you? What are the philosophies of the coaches? How entrenched are they? Do you have to worry about new offensive coordinator every year? Do you have to worry about a new coach every other year? I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence. Wouldn't Trevor Lawrence much rather be a guy who ended up 15th overall to the New England Patriots and first overall to the Jaguars? And, you know, that underscores a point that I make all the time as the draft approaches. And I know fans hate it, but it's never stopped me from saying it. I wish there were more of these high-end quarterbacks who were willing to do the John Elway, Eli Manning, and say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in your dysfunctional team. I don't want to play for you. I'm not going to sign with you. I'll re-enter the draft. I'll go play baseball. I will not come to your team. I don't know why more young quarterbacks don't do that, because where you end up to start your career, and you know, maybe Trevor Lawrence had no clue that it was going to go so bad with Urban Meyer last year, but where you start your career, if it's a bad spot, it may not just set you back, it may completely derail you from ever becoming the quarterback you could have been.
Mike, what's the best coaching job available right now, you think?
Well, look, they're all bad. They're open for a reason. You know, it's not like the Patriots job is open.
Right.
You know, it's the dysfunctional teams and the ones that are unsuccessful, the ones that are looking for jobs. I mean, I'm fascinated by Denver, even though they don't have an owner or a quarterback. But they've got George Payton, who's firmly in charge of the football operation. John Elway is still kind of there, but he's been – I mean, he basically was fired upstairs last year by the Broncos, and Peyton is going to call the shots. They're in a position where they should be able to attract a good quarterback. And, you know, hey, new owner, because I don't know if you guys have talked about this much or how much it's on your radar screen. I know you have bigger fish to fry down there, but they're going to announce that team's up for sale not long after they have a new coach. I am very confident in that. So, you know, you take that job not knowing who the owner is going to be. I don't know how big of a factor that is once you have your 5-year guaranteed contract, but that could be the best of the jobs out there. And the Vikings job has potential, but my concern there is the same as it is for the Dolphins. The Wolves don't live in Minnesota, so you need a presence in that organization that can kind of hold everything on the same page. But they have a great stadium. They have a state-of-the-art practice facility, and the Wolves will authorize – the payment of big money for players. You just got to get the right players. And I think, you know, the Kirk Cousins decision is what resulted in the whole house getting cleaned out in Minnesota this week.
Well, this thing is going to be crazy. So we're now officially, if we go back to the start with John Gruden, we are at 8 head coaches have been fired. Mike, there were 7 last year. Half of the head coaches, basically, one short, have been fired in 2 years. Half the league has fired their head coaches. Then,
well, no, because the Texans did it twice. So some of them have
worked. I didn't even think about that. Right.
Oh, man. All right.
But, you know, there aren't many ways that you can try to make a bad team into a good team. And the owners are extremely competitive with each other. This isn't about dollars and cents, because the smart business move for a lot of these teams is to stay the course. This is, you know, it's like they all go get their super yacht, right? Like when you have so much money that you don't know what to do with it, what do? You buy a football team and you buy a super yacht. Well, the super yacht kind of floats in the water by itself. It's right, not racing right. anybody. Right. This is like the race of the super yachts. That's what it is. So if your super yacht is consistently coming in last or in the back half of the pack in the race of the other oligarch super yachts, you're going to fire the captain, and that's what happens. And again, the bad teams are the ones that are consistently churning through coaches and general managers, and they wonder why. Look at the Giants. Every 2 years, they've been hiring a new coach. Ben McAdoo, 2 years. I mean, we're not that far removed from Ben McAdoo's press conference where he wore that giant David Burns suit. He got 2 years. Pat Shurmur got 2 years. Joe Judge got 2 years. And the Maras wonder what's going on. Maybe if they got the hell out of the football operations, the team wouldn't be so damn dysfunctional. But, you know, you look at the organizational chart, you got John Mara that owns the team. You got his brother, Chris, who is the senior vice president of player personnel. And they got a nephew who's the co-director of player personnel, and they act like they don't have undue influence over the team. Of course they do. So, you know, it's just dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things, and they don't realize how dysfunctional they are. And that's why we see so much turnover. They're slipping into quicksand, and they don't know how to get out of it, and they end up slipping deeper and deeper all the time.
Mike, I got to ask you, we got a bunch of games coming up. It's going to be fun. 2 Saturday, 3 Sunday, of course, Monday night as well. Which quarterback, in your opinion, has the most pressure on him to win this first game? I think it's clear cut for me, but you may have somebody different.
In any of the wild card games, the most pressure to win?
Yes.
To win?
Any of the games we're playing. Yep.
Well, I mean, God, you could make the argument for pretty much any one of them, but I tell you what, the one that is most firmly on my radar screen is Steelers Chiefs, because the pressure's on Patrick Mahomes to win that game, because the Steelers aren't even supposed to be there, and they're playing that vibe, that card, that idea. It reminds me of 2005 all over again, when, you know, they were left for dead in December when they lost to the Bengals, and they had to run the table to get the sixth seed. And, you know, they had that very natural and organic vibe of, we're not supposed to be here. I mean, all the pressure's on the Chiefs on Sunday night. Not that Patrick Mahomes can't deliver, but I think he's under a ton of pressure. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, with his future, whether it's in San Francisco or somewhere else, tied to what he does this postseason. And really, is he going to be a guy that is trusted to throw the ball, or is it going to be the Bob Greasy approach all over again, where he just hands off and hands off and hands off, like we saw 2 years ago in the playoffs, really until they got to the Super Bowl that year? But you can make the case that every one of these, you know, it's an opportunity.
There's a bunch.
Well, simplified, Dak or Stafford? Dak or Stafford for you?
Stafford's a good one. Hey, look. The Rams traded 2 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. And I said yesterday, there's a chance that they traded 2 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Jared Goff for Jared Goff. You've got to show me that you're better or different than Jared Goff. This guy's been around since 2009. He's been in the playoffs a few times. He's never won a playoff game. And here he is, first year with the Rams, prime time, Monday night game. Yeah, I you know, here's what the Rams have been in recent weeks. Stafford may throw 3 interceptions, and they'll still win the damn game.
Right, right.
Maybe that's what the Rams are going to be this playoff season.
Mike, it's always great having you. You had a few things you need to get off your chest today here for South Florida, so thank you very much.
We liked it, yep.
I'm happy to. And look, I'm on the fan side here. It drives me crazy. You know, here's the example I use, and I'm sorry you're trying to play me off, but I need to make
this point. No, keep going.
Let me make this point. If you go out and make a lot of money and you want to buy a Ferrari and you want to drive that Ferrari into the ground and you want to put cheap gasoline in it and buy substandard tires and take it on terrain that it has no business being on and, you know, run it into a lamppost, that's your business. It's your car. You can do whatever you want with it. But the difference is, when you own an NFL franchise, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who care about that Ferrari. You have a greater obligation beyond your own whims and inclinations to take care of that Ferrari. And it drives me crazy when these owners don't have the same level of respect and admiration that someone who has no interest whatsoever, no ownership whatsoever, it's all emotional attachment. So that's why I get upset this time of year when you see these oligarchs who are surrounded by yes men who do what they want without regard to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who are emotionally invested in the fate of that Ferrari as they continue to drive the damn thing into the ground. All right, I feel better now.
All right, Mike.
Bye, Mike.
You're on fire. Thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend.
All right. See you guys.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.